This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at all of the Championship action from the weekend. Some pretty emphatic scorelines, including Brentford's 7-0 home win against Luton, Bristol City's 5-2 win against Huddersfield, and Leeds beating Middlesbrough 4-0. So lots of goals in the Championship. It started on Friday night with a good result for Fulham away at Swansea, and it finishes off with a game tonight, a big game at Deepdale between Preston and West Brom. We'll be getting more on Nottingham Forest's defeat at home to Cardiff on the weekend. We'll also talk about that Bristol City win, 5-2 at home against Huddersfield. And we'll also talk about Gerhard Struber's first win in charge of Barnes. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to come over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. So plenty to look back on in the Championship over the weekend. Obviously, it's been three fixtures in the last week for all of the Championship clubs. So it is busy, busy, busy for the Championship at the moment. 19 games into the season. One more to come this weekend. As I mentioned, it's Preston against West Brom. Let's cast our minds back to Friday night, where at the Liberty Stadium on the Friday night football, it was a victory for the away side. It finished Swansea 1, Fulham 2. Two more goals for Alexander Mitrovic. He's far too good for this league, really. I mean, how good a job did the Khans do to keep hold of him over the summer and keep him at Fulham when he could have easily have got a move back into the Premier League, well into double figures now so far on the season. The big difference between Swansea and Fulham really was Alexander Mitrovic, and having a clinical goal scorer up top. You compare it to Sam Surridge on loan from Bournemouth, a young player that's still very, very inexperienced, a good young player, but lacks that experience, lacks the quality that someone like Alexander Mitrovic poses. And as it kind of panned out, because Swansea created plenty of opportunities, but they just could not put them away. Instead, on the other hand, Alexander Mitrovic was able to. So a good win for Scott Parker's side, who have now won four on the bounce. Then on to Saturday's action. The early kickoff was at the Valley, where Charlton hosted Sheffield Wednesday. A huge injury list for Charlton at the moment. They're having to deal with plenty of players on the sidelines, and they were buoyed by the news just 24 hours previous to the game that obviously Roland Duchatelet has agreed to sell the club. But on the field, it didn't pan out well. Gary Monk's Sheffield Wednesday won. They hadn't won in their last four, but they did secure a win at the Valley by 3-1. Two goals for Stephen Fletcher. We'll be talking about Barnsley later in the hour. They won 3-1 at home against Hull, and it must have been a rather significant relief for Barnsley fans. They hadn't won since the opening weekend of the season in the early days of August, when it was warm, when it was sunny. Now we're in the midst of winter, and Barnsley have finally got another win. Gerhard Struber's first win at Barnsley. They've come close in recent games, but they did win at Hull, and it is baffling, isn't it, the Championship this season. Merely a matter of days ago, Hull beat sixth-place Preston North End 4-0, and then they go to bottom-place Barnsley and lose 3-1. It really is very, very strange. Then to St Andrews, where it was all square, and Birmingham, they really do like a draw. They've now drawn their last three. They drew at home 1-1 against Millwall, who now have back-to-back draws. Brentford 7, Luton 0 was most certainly the most emphatic result of the week. And this game again, Brentford lost 1-0 away at Blackburn in the week. Luton came from 1-0 down to beat Charlton 2-1. What happens? Brentford are 5-0 up at half-time and go on to win the game 7-0. A hat-trick for Josh De Silva during the game, and what was kind of really, really a good thing for Brentford fans to read was the comments of head coach Thomas Frank after the game, that even at half time at 5-0 up, the players kept going. They kept showing the same desire, the same motivation to keep going so many times. And we'll talk about Bristol City, who won 5-2 against Huddersfield. So often you can take your foot off the pedal and the wing can seem not as good as it was in the first half, but they kept going, kept wanting to score goals, and they won 7-0, kept a clean sheet as well. So good result for Brentford. How much pressure does it increase on Graham Jones? They've gone through 5 straight defeats before winning in midweek, but a heavy defeat can be tough to come back from. Luton just hovering above the relegation zone by just 1 point. I mentioned how at Ashton Gate it was another high scoring affair. Bristol City won 5-2 at home against Huddersfield. They raced into a very, very early lead, scoring plenty of goals in the first half. Maybe not quite as bad as it could have been for Huddersfield in that game, but still a pretty emphatic result for Lee Johnson's side. To Pride Park, where it was Wayne Rooney's first game in the dugout for Derby. He can't play until January. However, he was in the dugout for Derby on the weekend as part of the coaching staff under Philip Cocu, but it only resulted in 1 point. Martin Waghorn had given Derby the lead, but Eberechi easy with another goal. He's been linked with a few Premier League clubs. He's been linked with Tottenham and Chelsea in recent days. So another goal for him and a 1-1 draw. The points shared at Pride Park. Up at Elland Road, an emphatic win for Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds, who have now won their last 5 games. They do go to the top of the table ahead of West Brom's game tonight. Patrick Bamford scoring his second goal in only the last couple of weeks after having not scored since the end of August. Jonathan Woodgate, obviously managing Middlesbrough now against his former side Leeds. The pressure is certainly ramping up on him. Just 1 point and a couple of places above the relegation zone. So not a great position for them to currently be in. But maybe a defeat away at Elland Road isn't going to determine Middlesbrough's season. At the Forest ground, Nottingham Forest lost 1-0 at home against Cardiff. It's now continuing this unbeaten start for the new Cardiff manager, Neil Harris. He drew away at Charlton in his first game, won his second game, and has now won his third game. So a good start, even though there was a lot of negativity surrounding his appointment in the first place. Things are looking really on the up for Cardiff, who are up to 10th in the table. Stoke went down 2-1 at home against Blackburn. Michael O'Neill had won his first couple of games in charge and said it was dead easy to be a club manager and an international manager. Well, back-to-back defeats for Stoke leaves them in 23rd place in the table. Bradley Dack scored at both ends. So he was pretty happy opening the scoring for Blackburn, but he did score into the wrong net before Blackburn went on to win the game. And the final result saw Wigan go down 3-1 at home against Reading. Mark Bowen continues his good start as the Reading head coach for Wigan. They are into the bottom 3. 4 losses and a draw from their last 5 games. They're only a point away from safety, but going through a pretty bad patch at the moment. And then, as I mentioned, one more game to come this weekend, and it is tonight at Deepdale. It is 6th place Preston taking on West Brom. Preston have lost the last couple of games, and as I mentioned, one of them in pretty emphatic style against Hull. They take on West Brom, who are looking to return to the top of the table. Only a win will see them go back to the summit of the Championship table. So looking at the table, Leeds occupy that top spot after winning their last 5 games on the trot there on 40 points. West Brom 1 point, but also that game in hand tonight, an opportunity for them to go back to the top. In the playoff positions, after 4 straight wins, Fulham are up in 3rd on 35 points. They're in a really great stretch at the moment. One of the informed sides in the Championship. Nottingham Forest, they do have a game in hand. They are in 4th. Bristol City in 5th on the same number of points on 32. Preston North End, they are in 6th with that game tonight at home against West Brom. Just below that, Brentford, who had that massive win against Luton, they're on 30. Swansea have dropped out of the top 6 after a good start to the season. Sheffield Wednesday are in 9th, down near the bottom. In 24th, Barnsley are on to 12 points, but they did secure their first win, as I mentioned, since the opening weekend of the season. They're just a couple of points behind second place from the bottom, Stoke City on 14 points. Wigan are on 16 in 22nd. Luton and Middlesbrough just hanging outside of the relegation zone. They are on 17 points. So things not looking great for them. The pressure ramping up on the likes of Graham Jones and Jonathan Woodgate as well. And just away from the Championship, but involving Championship clubs, we mentioned how there's a game in the Championship tonight. There's also the draw for the third round of the FA Cup, which gets underway from just after 7 o'clock this evening. So obviously all the big boys from the Premier League come in. So plenty of games to look forward to, and a number of obviously Championship clubs will be involved in that draw. So for all you Championship fans, as well as the fact that there is a game going on tonight in the Championship, there's also the FA Cup third round draw that takes place. So for those, doesn't matter whether you're a big boy Premier League fan or whether you're a Championship fan or even further beyond that into the lower leagues and the non-league, something to watch out for. The third round draw for this year's FA Cup takes place just after 7 o'clock this evening. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, you can. You can call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So if you want to share your views on your Championship club, was it a good weekend? If you're a Fulham fan, you must be delighted with your form at the moment. For Barnsley fans, the relief of having your first win since the opening weekend of the season. High scoring affairs for Brentford, for Bristol City, for Leeds. If you're a Middlesbrough fan, you must be worrying about what the future has, what the future will hold over the next few weeks and months. Luton fans might be dreading it, as will Wigan fans. For Stoke fans, is that bounce starting to wane under Michael O'Neill? So if you want to get in touch, that number again, 0208 70 20 558. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking about that win for Barnsley at home against Hull on the weekend. Gerhard Struber's first win in charge of Barnsley. We're also going to talk about that emphatic win for Bristol City at home against Huddersfield. But up next, we'll be talking all things Nottingham Forest.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Share your views on your Championship club. Obviously, we're here every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. As I mentioned, later in the hour, we're going to be talking about Bristol City and Barnsley. But up next, we're going to be talking all things Nottingham Forest. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Baz Cooper, journalist for the Nottingham Post. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Baz. So looking back at the weekend, it was a 1-0 home defeat to Cardiff on the weekend, who have obviously had a little bit of a bounce since Neil Harris took over there, but I'm guessing, assuming that Sabri Lamouchi would have been absolutely devastated to be losing at home to Cardiff on the weekend.
Good afternoon. Yeah, he certainly was that. I think most Forest fans turning up to the game on Saturday would have been a bit cautious, given the fact that they've not beat Cardiff in an awfully long time. And I think before Saturday, Cardiff had won the last four at the City Ground. So the omens were not promising. But the game, but Forest started well, and they had a couple of good chances early on. João Carvalho missed an absolute sitter, just probably about 8 yards out, left on side of the penalty area. He shot over. Sammy Amiobi got his legs confused, and his legs and feet confused, and Fudge went wide as well. And then I guess the classic sucker punch, Cardiff scored. Mendes Lang stuck one in the bottom corner from the edge of the box, quarter of an hour in, and it was one of those games where it's a cliche, but Forest really needed to get the first goal. And I think had they done that, the crowd would have been up, the players would have been confident, or more confident, I should say, after the win at QPR in midweek, and it would have changed markedly Neil Harris and Cardiff's game plan. But as it was, they got the first goal. They were able to sit in and essentially put 11 men behind the ball and make it very difficult for Forest to break them down.
When you look at the simple statistics of it, even with a 4-0 win at QPR, Forest have just 9 goals in their past 8 matches, indicating a lack of cutting edge. Is that something that's pretty evident and that's holding them back? That, yes, Forest didn't keep a clean sheet on the weekend, but they weren't able to score at home. Is that actually a significant problem that is starting to become a bit of a trend?
I don't know if it's a significant problem per se. I think they're clearly very, very... they were very wasteful on Saturday. I think prior to Saturday, they were bottom of the Championship when it came to chances created. I think they'd had 58 shots on target in the season, of which they'd scored 24 combined. So I think it goes to show that, they don't create that many chances on the whole, but when they do create chances, they tend to, they're very efficient and they take one. Unfortunately, on Saturday, they had 32 attempts on goal, didn't score with one. They only hit the target with two, and that was one in the first half outside the box from Amiobi, and one late on as they were chasing the game outside the box from Cash. So I think there's a concern, certainly at home, that needs to be addressed, in that teams are obviously wary of Forest. They're wary that if Forest get the first goal, the chances are they'll keep a clean sheet and shut them out, and that'll be the game. But they do know, opposition teams, that if they can get the first goal against Forest, then Forest haven't got a great track record of coming from behind to get something out of the game. On one or two occasions they have, Stoke, Charlton, granted, but Forest are a team that are built to keep it tight, to nick a goal and then defend that and maybe get a second, as the second, third or fourth, as they did at QPR, which was a one-off clearly. But yeah, I think the concern is when they're struggling to break teams down like they did against Cardiff, where is that goal coming from?
As you mentioned there, Baz, 32 shots for Nottingham Forest. Sabri Lamouchi said after the game that in the end, he thought his side deserved more than the 0 points that they got. I mean, we see this quite a lot in the Premier League, where some of the big clubs go away to some of the smaller clubs and have plenty of chances, have plenty of possession. But unless that brings anything, unless that actually results in goals, do you think a statistic like 32 shots and 69% possession is irrelevant, or is that maybe being a bit too harsh on Forest?
We always say, don't we, in this business, we love stats, but you can make them fit any argument that you wish. And throughout the season, Forest have largely, I haven't got it to hand, but I'm pretty sure that Forest haven't had 69% possession at the end of any game this season. So that tells you something. 32 shots, look, again, you can make that fit any argument. If you want to make it fit the argument that, look, Forest had created a lot of opportunities, had a lot of pressure, just weren't quite at it, and those games, you know, you have those type of games, you can, that works. Equally, you can say Forest were pretty average going forward, didn't really look like scoring, and anybody can shoot from 35 yards and it go 10 yards wide, and that'll count as a shot on goal. It won't count as a shot on target, obviously, but a shot on goal it will. So again, it's how you want to dress those stats up, and that's fine. I think, having watched the game on Saturday, I would be concerned that Cardiff made it very difficult for them. They two banks of four and sat in. Forest couldn't get into the penalty area on too many occasions, and they were a bit panicky. They got a bit desperate and were just shooting from anywhere. And as I said, the goalkeeper, Neil Etheridge, had a pretty calm afternoon, which sounds daft when you think, again, the headline is, oh, we had 32 shots on goal. You think the goalkeeper's had a busy afternoon. Forest could have been there till tomorrow and still wouldn't have scored. It was just one of those days. And you also have to give credit to the opposition, I think. You know, they were in the Premier League last year. They've still very much got the Neil Warnock factor, very tough to beat. Neil Harris has clearly come in, as you said at the top, of the programme. They've had a bounce. That's a positive for them. They're good at what they do. And look, they've not won away all season. I think they've not won in nine. I think this was their 10th away game and they got the victory. And you have to give them credit. And just, Forest need to find the answer at home to teams that, like Cardiff, like Preston, one or two others that have, you know, Barnsley and Brentford have also come and made it very, very difficult for them. And they've had to rely on single goal victories like they did against Derby. But they've got to find a way at home of getting out there quickly, getting the goal early. But also, if they don't get the early goal, it's being patient, sticking to their principles, keep playing their football and believing that they will create a good chance. They don't need to keep rocking it in from 40 yards. And because they've got to find a way of playing against these teams at home, certainly.
Now that we're 19 games into season 18 for Nottingham Forest, they're fourth place at the moment on 32 points. We're starting, obviously, with those clubs that appointed a new manager over the summer, so therefore there's been that change. We can start to see how sides are adjusting in the Premier League. We talk about Graham Potter from Chris Hughton. What you've seen from the first few months of the season up until the beginning of December under Sabri Lamouchi, is there a real sense of positivity that this man can really take Forest forward? And we've spoken in the past, Baz, about the expectation at Forest. Do you think that a top six spot is definitely achievable and Forest are looking good to make a consistent run at it for the rest of the season?
Without a doubt. I think you look at the Championship, we say this every year, and I'm aware of that, and it sounds like we're just repeating the same thing, but the Championship is open. Anybody can lay claim to it this year, more so, and it seems to change every year. It seems to get more and more open. And look, Forest are fourth. After 19 games, Forest are fourth in the Championship going into the festive period. Now, I do believe that come, I know we've got the FA Cup third round draw tonight, but come FA Cup third round weekend at the beginning of January, we'll know a lot more about this Forest side and the manager and where they've got the ability to go. Because invariably, the festive period between now and New Year's Day, there was 10 games in 5 weeks. I think there's now, eight games between now and New Year's Day. So it really does sort out the week from the chaff, if you like. And I think Forest have got the ability. I still think they're one or two players short. We've talked about this before, Kieran, about them being light up front. They're so reliant on Lewis Grabban, scarily reliant on Lewis Grabban. He was completely isolated on Saturday. They've got a bit of a problem there in trying to get him in the game enough to affect it in the top half of the pitch, or the top third of the pitch, if you like. They need to do something in January. So from their point of view, the next 2 months at the City Ground will determine whether they get promoted or not, or certainly get in the top six. Can they get through to New Year's Day against Blackburn, which is at the City Ground on New Year's Day? Can they get through this next run of fixtures and remain not necessarily fourth but fifth, sixth in that pack, in that chasing, in that playoff pack? And then the month after that is January, the transfer window. Can they strengthen with enough quality in the top third of the pitch? Because defence, I mean, they've got the best goalkeeper in the Championship, certainly in the top two goalkeepers in the Championship in Bree Samba. Defensively, they're looking much, much more solid. Joe Worrell's, for me, probably been the player of the season thus far. Tobias Figueiredo settling in nicely in the absence of Mickey Dawson. In midfield, they're okay. They still need more from Joe Lolley because he's not been at it massively so far. They've got to get some support for Lewis Grabban, either somebody to play with him or somebody just to take the strain off him, because As I just said, we've talked about it, and everybody talks about it, the Lewis Grabban effect, and they have to deal with it. So for me, the next 2 months are absolutely pivotal.
And just finally then, Baz, looking ahead to Forest's next game, they come thick and fast, and it's Friday night, and away trip to Millwall on the Friday night football coming up this week. But you mentioned there about, you mentioned a few moments ago about how sometimes for Forest at the moment, playing away from home is easier. Yeah. Forest won emphatically away at QPR 4-0 just under a week ago. So in some ways, it might aid Forest playing away from home this Friday?
I would agree. Normally, and certainly if ever there was a team tailor-made to face Forest at home, it would have been QPR, in the way that Mark Warburton sets his team up. That was, you know, that was Christmas come early, I think, for Sabri and his players. This one on Friday night, it's almost a nightmare going to Millwall, and I mean that the staff there are lovely. You couldn't get a warmer welcome from the staff, but in terms of Forest, it's a nightmare ground to go to. I think they've won there three times in the 2000s, and one of those was in the League Cup game. So Forest don't do well at Millwall. It's a ground the Den isn't a ground they relish going to at all. And on the flip side of it, the visit of Forest is always one that Millwall relish. And I think, such is the crazy nature of the division, I think Millwall are 13th in the table. They're 6 points behind Forest. So they'll see, and Gary Rowett certainly, they've had a couple of good results since we talked about the Neil Harris bounce at Cardiff. I think Rowett's had a similar one at Millwall, and I think they'll relish facing Forest in many ways, but knowing that if they can get a home victory, bearing in mind they've already beaten the likes of Leeds and Preston at home this season already, Sheffield Wednesday too, that they're right back in the mix. They'll only be 3 points behind Forest, so it's a real tough one for Lamucci and the Reds, but they are geared up to playing away from home more so than at home, and I don't think they'll be, I'm not saying they'll be looking forward to it, because not too many look forward to a night at the Den, but I think if they can get out of there with a point, they'll see that as a very good result.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Baz. That was Baz Cooper, journalist for the Nottingham Post, joining us to talk about a disappointing result for Forest on the weekend at home against Cardiff. They're back in action, as we mentioned, on Friday night away at Millwall. Only 9 goals in Forest's last 8 games, and Baz was mentioning there they need more support for Lewis Grabban. There's too much pressure on his shoulders to perform, and they need other players to step up. And according to Baz, the next couple of months, and I think we've said that over the last few weeks here on the Championship Fan Show, that the next couple of weeks will, or the next 5-6 weeks will determine where everyone's going to be playing for. Are you going to be involved in a relegation battle? Are you going to push for top 2? Are you pushing for top 6? That's what I think this Christmas period will decide. And for Forest, it is a crucial period for them. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 70 20 558. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking about Barnsley. They secured their first win since the opening weekend of the season. But up next, we're going to be talking all things Bristol City.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Bristol City now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Stanley Hughes from the One Stream in Bristol podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Stanley. Fantastic result and a great reaction after a disappointing result in midweek at West Brom. An emphatic 5-2 win at home against Huddersfield. Exactly, I'm assuming, the reaction that Bristol City fans were after.
Yeah, totally. I think the players and the manager also were after that sort of reaction. I was one of those few who was idiotic enough to travel up to the Hawthorns on Wednesday night. And after a long trip home that ended me getting into bed about 2 a.m, I was delighted to see us batter Huddersfield with 5 goals. What was interesting for me was the change of formation. There's been a lot of talk about the 3-5-2 formation we've been playing, especially away from home. And one of the problems with that is arguably our star assist maker, top assist maker in the league, Nicholas Eliasson, isn't able to fit into that formation as he's a winger. But we played 4-4-2 for the second half against West Brom to mixed effect. We started with that against Huddersfield, and I think it paid dividends with Eliasson sort of putting loads of crosses into the box and caused quite a few goals.
It struck me, because I was in here in the studio following it on the score on Saturday, and Bristol City looked emphatic first half. Was there a case of a bit of a drop-off and a difference to Brentford at home against Luton, where they kept going and they went on to win the game 7-0? Was there maybe an element of just taking the foot off the accelerator pedal a little bit second half, or is that perhaps not showing enough credit to Huddersfield, who stuck at it in the second half?
I think it's a good point. I think, you know, Brentford probably keep their style a little bit stronger than we do in terms of the way they play football. They probably play from first minute to 90th minute the same way. We had a couple of players that weren't fully fit. I mean, Adam Nadj was taken off for Corey Smith. Jack Hunt was taken off for Pedro Pereira. And Nathan Baker was taken off for Taylor Moore. So perhaps without those three injuries, you would have seen different subs come on and maybe would have pushed on and won by a bigger margin. But to win by 3 goals is very rare for Bristol City. I think it's only the third time that we've won by a 2-goal or more margin in the past 18 months. So these sort of victories are very, very rare for Bristol City. So to even, you know, score 4 goals in one half is something short of a miracle.
Lee Johnson talked after the game how he was very complimentary. He said that the boys were fantastic. He said it's been a tough week for us for a number of reasons and thought they were outstanding to a man. I'm guessing, assuming that he's obviously indicating the fact that obviously an awful week for Benik Afobe, some really heartbreaking news, the fact that unfortunately he and his wife lost their 2-year-old daughter, Amora, on Friday. This is adding to the fact that he's out for the season with a knee injury. He's on loan from Stoke. I'm sure this is a time, and on the weekend it had been a case of coming together as a football club to support obviously Benik and obviously his family. It's a horrible, horrible time.
Yeah, I think in moments like these, sort of words of comfort almost feel like worthless gestures, really. But I must say, it's been sort of amazing to see the outpouring of love from the football community, not just Bristol City, but everyone sort of giving their support either on social media or, I'm sure, in person to Benik. Obviously, as fans who weren't aware of this, it seemed like part of the squad were. Ashley Williams, after scoring his goal, held up 9 fingers, and I'm presuming that was remind Benik that he's obviously always in our thoughts and he's always going to get all of our love. Like you said, yeah, you can't even empathise with someone in a situation like that to, you know, have a similar reoccurrence of a serious knee injury and
be forced to watch your team from the stands, and then something tragic like this. It goes. I mean, again, it's a cliche, but I think it stands true. This is so much more than football. So much bigger than football. And yeah, you just hope that he realizes the amount of love that he's been given. And yeah, I don't know how you move on after a moment like that, really.
Obviously, our thoughts are with Benek at this horrible, horrible, devastating time for him and his family. Talking about Bristol City then in general is where they're at the moment. Fifth place after 19 games, 32 points. They've been a little bit patchy at times, a little bit inconsistent, like pretty much all of the Championship. But would you say at this moment in time, Bristol City are where they're supposed to be and quite satisfied with where they're at? Because not necessarily a lot of people are talking about them at the moment. There are plenty of other clubs that people are mentioning at the moment. But I'm assuming that going under the radar is something that Bristol City won't necessarily be too disappointed at?
Yeah, I think so. I think Lee Johnson's talked about this over the past few seasons. I think his favourite phrase is don't believe the hype. Past seasons, maybe when we do sort of get press of the national media or people do start to sort of pay attention to us, maybe then we fail their expectations. I'm harking back to 2 years ago when we got to the semi-final of the Carabao Cup. We knocked out, we beat four Prem teams in that run, and we were playing amazing football, lost to Wolves at the top of the table clash and sort of fell away and finished outside the playoffs. I think this season is going to be different for what it's worth. Is this where we should be? I think we should be in a higher position. But because of our injuries, we aren't there. We mentioned Benik Afoba there. If he was still fit, I'd have no doubt we'd be pushing for the top two with the rate of goals he was scoring. Thomas Kalas, our star signing, has been injured. Mark Ashton, the CEO, alluded to the fact that maybe we need to get a striker in January because goals is the problem. I think we're joint second top goal scorers. The problem is the other end. And when you get sort of Taylor Moore and Thomas Kalas fit, Jada Silva comes in. We've just seen Hunt come back in. With a sort of a fully fit defence, maybe a fully fit Adam Nagy or Corey Smith, then we'll start to concede less. I think that's where we need to improve, and hopefully will improve.
Looking at what's to come then, standing over the coming weeks, up next on Saturday, a tough trip to Fulham, who are in great form, four wins on the bounce. They're up to third. They've kind of crept under the radar a little bit. This is going to be a real test of where Bristol City are up to in a tough away game against one of the inform, one of the best sides in the Championship.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when was the last test? When did we last play a good Championship team away from home? Oh, that's right. It was Wednesday. We got battered 4-1 by West Brom. We have a really good record at Craven Cottage. We've won there on the last three occasions. I'm privileged to say I was there jumping up and down when we did it. I think with Fulham, it was only a matter of time, albeit with Scott Parker in his first full-time role, it was only a matter of time until the likes of Bobby Reid, Mitrovic, Nocciart and Cavallero started to work out how to play with each other. And that's before you even mention the likes of Tom Kearney or star fullback Joe Bryan. I think it's going to be tough. I mean, like any stupid football fan, I'm going there expecting a good performance and hopefully at least a point. But I think since the change of formation and the formation and style we saw against Huddersfield, if we play like that and try and attack Fulham from the off, I think we could have a good chance. And when Edison's on the ball, you know, he's a top assister despite playing barely half of our games from the start. I'm quietly confident. But then again, I'm telling everyone on the radio station that I'm quietly confident.
And then just finally, Stanley, looking at the season then as it unfolds with still plenty of games to go, is it just a case of securing top six and trying to get a playoff position? Or are there some that are just wondering if they can go on a good run that top two is an option, or is that perhaps too optimistic?
Well, I think anyone who thinks top two is reasonable is a bit of an idiot. And that's why I think if we get a good striker in January, it's definitely up for grabs. I mean, it happens every year. Leeds United always seem to fall away at some point. So I'm waiting for that to happen. There's rumours, and CEO Mark Ashton would neither confirm or deny these rumours, whether that we've been talking to Arsenal about potentially taking Eddie Nketiah for the second half of the season. For me, I think it comes down to where are we at the 1st of January. If we're within touching distance of the top two and we get a good striker in or a couple of good signings, I think we've got as good a chance as any of getting to the top two. So I think that's what it comes down to. Who in the top six, top eight do the best business in that January transfer window?
It's interesting, just finally then, Stanley, you mentioned that. I've seen that rumour for a few months as Eddie Nketiah not particularly happy that he's not been starting as often for Leeds. They've been going with Patrick Bamford ahead of him. Do you think that that's a realistic option in January, that might happen? And how bigger a loan signing would that be for Bristol City if they managed to get Nketiah? Not only would it surely improve Bristol City, it then obviously takes away from a team right up there in Leeds.
Yes, good point, isn't it? It's sort of the player equivalent of a six-pointer. I'm not sure. The fact that Mark Ashton was very coy about it suggests to me that it is a potential option. I think he said we sort of would have five or so strikers on our list. I think it'll be a huge signing. Since Afobe got injured, we basically missed that, a striker who can run the channels and play up top with Andreas Fireman. Famara Jeju, bless him, he works his socks off, but he's not quite that sort of player. In terms of realism, I don't see why not. If it wasn't for Ian Wright, who's now stuck in the middle of the Australian outback, he quite easily could have come to Bristol City. So, and Lee Johnson's already gone to Arsenal and done a PowerPoint presentation on why Eddie Nketiah should and should have, in hindsight, come to Bristol City. So they'll know all the reasons and all the pros of bringing in here. And this time, Ian Wright hasn't got a phone to ring up and tell Eddie to choose Leeds over us. So realistic, yeah, go on, why not?
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Stanley. That was Stanley Hughes from the One Stream in Bristol podcast. Obviously, an emphatic result for Bristol City at the weekend, winning 5-2 at home against Huddersfield. And the prospect, potentially, that rumour has been lingering around for a few months now. That, remember when Eddie Nketiah went off doing an under-21 duty, scored, and then came back, scored for Leeds, and said openly how he was disappointed not to be starting games. He believed he was good enough to start. And so these rumours have been around for a few months. Bristol City were one of those clubs strongly linked with him over the summer. They didn't quite get hold of him as Leeds got him, but there is this indication that with Bielsa favouring Bamford over Nketiah, that maybe Arsenal might look to send him on loan somewhere else. I think Arsenal see him as part of their future plans, but want him to get regular game time. And it would be a significant one for Bristol City, with obviously Benneke Fobe out. And as I mentioned, our thoughts are with him at the moment, not only having to deal with a season-ending injury, another knee injury that he's had to deal with, but obviously those tragic news that came out over the weekend, that him and his partner obviously having to deal with the loss of their 2-year-old daughter, and more obviously awful for him. He's out for the season, so if they were able to bring Eddie Nketiah in, it would be a pretty significant signing for Bristol City, who are hoping to get somewhere into the playoff positions this season. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. After this, we'll be talking all things Barnsley.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Barnsley now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Carlo from the Reds Report. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Carlo. Finally, you can get here on a Monday afternoon celebrating a win, the first time since the opening weekend. What's the feeling? Is it relief, or is it just pure joy that you can actually celebrate on a Monday morning a victory?
Yeah, I forgot what to do Saturday when I came home, because it's been that long. My wife is used to me just coming home in a strop and staying like that basically till the next match day. But I suppose after Blackburn and Middlesbrough away, which were the first two games for Gerard Struber, two away games, performance-wise, we weren't far off. I spoke to some of the Blackburn fans afterwards who sort of said, I can't believe you haven't won this, because we weren't good at all. But again, individual mistakes leading to, you know, goals against us. So on come Hull. It's a little bit of a Yorkshire derby, I suppose. I'm not sure if the East Yorkshire or the East Riding. And they came with a decent record. They just absolutely bounced on Preston, and we lost very heavily there. And it just seemed that with cutting out these individual mistakes and a bit of a shuffle around of personnel, Gerard Struber has seemed to have found, well, the early indications are, a formula where people feel a bit more comfortable, maybe the position they're in, maybe the players they're surrounded by. And we cut out the individual mistakes, and not only did we win, I think it's fair enough to say for people that saw the match and that saw the goals, we actually deserve to win as well. So, yeah, extremely, extremely happy. A for Gerhard Struber, his first home match and the first 3 points. And I suppose as many Barnsley fans, we just hope now this kicks on and this creates a little bit more self-confidence, and that we can go on. And I'm not saying we're going to finish in the top 10, because we won't, but fifth from bottom is a decent position for us, given the predicament we find ourselves in at the moment.
Gerhard Struber described it, Carlo, as the first small step in the right direction. Do you think the biggest thing for this Barnsley side is just a bit of confidence, psychologically, just getting a few wins to restore that positivity is the absolute key for Barnsley? They may not be far away, but it's just a case of getting over the line and getting that win on the weekend, the first under Gerhard Struber, is actually, it may not be a small step, it might be a massive step forward for them.
Yeah, definitely. Gerhard Struber in his press conference talked about, it wasn't about, you know, a tactical approach, and it wasn't about energy levels, because they're there. it's a mindset. And when you step onto that pitch week in, week out, and people say, well, you played really well, but as a striker or as a team, you score two, but you let four in, it doesn't do anything for self-confidence, does it? And I think what Gerhard Struber, I know on Saturday morning, he had him in training to keep on, to be with him as much as he possibly could. And he saw that actually coming in on a Saturday morning at 12 o'clock, he needed to change the mindset. So we had a couple of hours with him before they went up for the warm-up on the pitch. And I'm not saying that's the thing that worked, but he's earmarked. It's all about the mentality and the mindset of these players. And being able to refer back to a win that wasn't on the match day one of this season is just going to help the squad, because we've never doubted the ability. However, our worry is now from many Barnsley fans is that, is this maybe a little bit too late? Because we've got performance in this team that can kick it at this level. You talk about a Coley Woodrow, you talk about an Alex Mowat. The January window is not far away from us. And the fear is that unless we kick on, will those players actually say, you know what, I've done it, I've tried it, but I'd rather go to a team that is winning. So that's the next concern for us. But for now, we'll enjoy the win over Hull. And we look forward to Cardiff away, and let's see if we can kick on from what we did on Saturday.
In these first three games, Carlo, under Gerhard Struber, is there a significant change? Obviously, Barnsley had to play a long time with caretaker manager Adam Murray in charge from Daniel Stenner being sacked at the beginning of October until November. Are there any noticeable changes that you've seen? Any positive steps forward in terms of tactics, the style that you've seen in Struber's first few games in charge?
I think the change started when Stendhal left, because Stendhal had very much the motto of we play it out from the back. That is fantastic football to watch. But if you put yourself under pressure because you can't clear it from the defence and you get goal against you. So Adam Murray already implanted that. If we can't, that's fine. You can hoof it up pitch. We had a clearance on Saturday by Bambo Diaby that hit the floodlights and landed about the third platform up. And as Barnsley fans, there was just a cheer around the stadium, because we've seen him struggle in these situations and needlessly giving the ball away and putting ourselves under pressure. And I think the tactic very much from Gerhard Struber is, if you can't, or if you've got, you know, you're back towards the striker and you can't do anything, it's if in doubt, kick it out, roll Z, over the stand, it doesn't matter, but it allows us time to step back up. And we are playing more narrow, so that the wide players that we've got, because he very much sees it, if you lose possession in the crowded midfield, you are forcing the opponents to go out and wide. And with two pacey youngsters down the wing, he's hoping to sort of combat that threat. So, yeah, we're definitely not as much playing from the back and more down the centre. A compact diamond in the centre of midfield seems to have been the way forward for Gerhard Struber.
After just Barnsley's second win of the season, then, is it just a case of taking it game by game? Barnsley 5 points off safety, but there are still a lot of games to go, still 27 in the season. And obviously, Barnsley have made this change now. They've got a new head coach in. Is it just simply not thinking too far ahead, thinking how many points do we need to survive? What sort of points tally do we need? Is it just simply looking ahead? You mentioned it's the next one. It's Saturday afternoon away at Cardiff. It's just taking it one game, one week at a time, rather than thinking too far ahead, wondering how many points in total that you might need.
Yeah, definitely. I asked him after the press conference. I said, you know, as fans, we forgot how to celebrate. How are you going to celebrate this win? And his words were, we enjoy it tonight because on Monday our minds are on Cardiff. And it has to be easier turning up at training today, knowing that we've beat Hull. And again, the performance was there. This time we got the result as well. So we only ever look forward to the next match, because if we start talking about, you know, the next three or the next four, it's a young set of lads. It's one of the youngest squads in the EFL. So it's the next match. And he also said it's good because for his first, for this match, he's got a full week to train with the squad, because obviously he came in, he took charge against Blackburn. 3 days later, we had Middlesbrough and then Hull at home. So he's got a full week now to work with them. I'm sure he's going to look at what his best 11 are, because he's still making changes. He has done every match so far, but it's one match at a time. So all eyes now on Cardiff, Millennium Stadium, Saturday, 3 o'clock, and let's see what we can do there.
Thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon, Carlo. Always great to speak to you. Carlo from the Reds Report there.
This is Love Sport.